I didn't know that this topic will coincide with Devil Month. But it is quite a good timing, don't you think so? My family was delivered from idols about 1850, when great-grandfather heard the gospel from Reverend William Chalmers Burns. Now, that name must ring a bell to most of you. He is the man who came from England, although he was a Scotsman. But he came under the English Presbyterian mission, and he brought the gospel, and my great-grandfather happened to come. Well, I won't say happened, but the Lord led him out of the village to Swatow. And there he heard how God loved us and gave us his son. And he believed, and immediately his life was changed. Out of idolatry, years of idolatry, all the traditional gods, ancestral worship and tablets and all kinds of things. I've had no experience myself of idol worship. All I know is great-grandfather was delivered. Grandfather was delivered also out of the village, hearing the gospel. So tonight, I have invited a friend of ours from Calvary, Jurong. And the Lord was good, delivered him from idols in the year 1988. And his name is Brother Adrian Chua. Please come, Adrian. I was thinking, you know, I can't give you a testimony of how God delivered me from idols, but here is a man, and he will be speaking on my behalf. Come, please, Adrian.
I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This month is the 7th month in the Chinese lunar calendar. And it's very appropriate because it's a hungry ghost month to talk about idol worshipping. Thank God for giving me this opportunity to share God's word with you tonight. I thank God for calling my family from outer darkness unto his marvelous kingdom that was 18 years ago. My name is Adrian Chua. I'm from Calvary BP Jurong. And together with my wife Sally, we are very staunch idol worshipper. I have a daughter now doing her housemanship in Tan Tock Seng Hospital and a son serving in the National Service. In my house were many idols, both big and small. Collecting idols were very vital and is part of my hobby. For we believe that the more idols we have at home, the merrier it will be, because the more protection we will receive. But this is indeed is wrong. For the Bible tells us that idols have eyes that cannot see, and have ears that cannot hear, and mouth that cannot speak. If idols need someone to feed them, then they will be very miserable. As we only offer food to idols on certain festive months, and most of the time, they have no food at all. We used to frequent the Chinese temple on the first day and the 15th day of the Chinese calendar month, and also do meditation at home. Occasionally, we will go and consult the medium whenever we are depressed. They will advise us to pray at the roadside and give us yellow tares to burn and mix with water for drinking to remove the curse. I was chairman of the many Hungry Ghost Festival, and I brought back many urns and lanterns hanged outside the house to protect the evil spirit from entering our home. During our shifting to our new home, we will again approach the temple medium to select an auspicious date and right timing to remove the idol, and also to consolidate our birth date so that we are not crashed with the spirit during the removal. The timing must please the idol, otherwise the spirit of the idol will not come to your house and you will not receive any blessings. Life was indeed meaningless and messy. I just wish that life could be just like a computer keyboard where you can press alternate cursor and delete the button, reboot and restart a new life all over again. But thank God for the turning point came on the 23rd of December in the year 1987. One of the system forums gave me a hymn book and invited me to attend Calvary BP Christmas celebration in which my daughter took part on the night. The Lord really touched my heart. On the 18th of January 1988, I removed the idol. And my pastor, Reverend James Chang, gave me a verse which I remember very clearly. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. It said, "Behold, God is my salvation, and I will not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song." Subsequently, on the 18th of April, 1988, I went to my first Bible camp conducted by Calvary Pandan. It was held at Awana. I thank God that during this time, the elders and the session member has been very close to me. I remember Mrs. William Sia, the time she was alive, Elder Ko King Hiang, Elder Sing Siang Kok, and many, which really touched my life. So I came back, I joined the AF for about 6 months. And thank God that during my free time, I also visit the mission station in Australia, England, Sri Lanka. On the 1st of April 1988, that's my first Bible camp. Subsequently, I made up my mind to remove the idol, and on the 25th of December 1988, my whole family was baptized. Truly, all this year, God has been very gracious and merciful to me as I reflect all my years back. So I would like to say thank you, Lord. All praise and glory to God in the highest. Thank you.
Yes, Brother Adrian is a living testimony how God delivered him from over 20 years of idol worshipping, being a slave in bondage to Satan's idols. I used to live in Tiong Bahru. At the corner of Tiong Bahru Road and Seng Poh Road was a temple. Whenever I passed there, I would look inside, curious. From time to time, there will be medium activity. I do not know whether you know what a medium is. A medium is a man who gives himself to Satan and invites Satan to send a spirit into him. On the way back from school, I would stop whenever I hear the noise from the temple. There I see a man in front of the altar, and he will be the person to invite the devil to come into him. What he does is to turn around and around his head in that way, over and over again, while the priest will be making all the so-called sacred music. And after a while, when he's gone fast and many times enough, suddenly the devil comes into him. Then he breaks into tongues. He speaks a different language. And then he will take brush and write on the yellow paper a message, whatever it is. And this will be given to the devotees around there. Each one will take one. Go home, burn, put in the water, drink for good luck. Out of the internet, you can source a lot of these activities in Singapore. Singapore is a very mixed, cosmopolitan society. Now they have temples where they unite three religions: Islam, Taoism, with all its spirit and idol worshipping, and Hinduism. Three of them combined together, and they have various kinds of festivals of worship. I just want to show you one or two pictures that is quite revealing here. Out of the internet, here is a victim, and he comes. People ask, hey, don't get caught by devils. I say, yes, so it is. But no one can be demon-possessed who refuses. Please understand. If you refuse, you cannot be a medium. These people willingly offer themselves to become the temple of the evil spirit. Inasmuch as we are temples of the Holy Spirit, these people become temple of the evil spirit. So here, we can draw one lesson, dear friends. If you are a believer, if you are a true Christian, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And a true Christian cannot be demon-possessed. You cannot. All right? You may behave strangely. You may behave violently. But that is due to other causes. For example, it can be due to schizophrenia. You know what is schizophrenia? Those who go to Woodbridge Hospital, and you can find many of them there. So here, let us understand, this man is a normal human being, but he offers himself, and he's gone through certain rites. And all of a sudden, the evil spirit comes into him, and then now he is possessed. You can see he's a different creature, whereas in the previous picture, he is anticipating, waiting, mouth open for the evil spirit to come into him. He's inviting the spirit. Here, spirit has come in, and he is a different person. He's sitting on a chair of nails. Yeah. In the possessed state, they don't feel anything, no pain. They can climb ladders of swords and knife edge. To them, it's nothing. Why? Because they're under possession of the evil spirit. Then now this man begins to walk around and he is possessed. From time to time, we see this procession. Yes, have you ever seen this? This is called the sacred sedan, which is supposed to contain certain idol and evil spirit. A deity has been called from wherever, from the air, and now he's in this chair. And the devotees, the temple priests will carry. And when they carry, they don't walk, but they prance around. You know what I mean? They jump around. Because the spirit there is causing them to be very active. When this procession came up to Calvary, Galilee one day, there was a prayer meeting going on inside, and the whole procession could not move. This is the effect of Christians praying, and the evil spirit just could not pass that barrier until after the prayer was over. Then they proceeded. Who are we dealing with? These are the names. Just for revision, most of you know them. Satan, anonymous adversary. The enemy, our arch enemy. As soon as you become a Christian, he is your enemy. Before that, you are under the domain of Satan. Lucifer is another name. Lucifer refers to the light bearer. This was what he was originally before he rebelled and sinned and got cast down out of heaven to become Satan. Alternate name is devil, the one we all understand. Serpent first appeared in the Garden of Eden as the arch tempter. Yes, another name is tempter. Another name is accuser of the brethren. And there we see him at the royal court in heaven in the passage we read just now about Job. How he went there to accuse Job of being a hypocrite. The Lord asked him, Satan, where do you come from? Oh, one of my patrols. Do you know there is a satanic patrol going up and down, going to and fro? The Word of God says he is like a roaring lion, but he doesn't always appear as a roaring lion. In fact, he doesn't. He appears in other guises. He appears as an angel of light, but he is accuser of the brethren, God of this world, dear friends, beloved. Thank God for our brother who was delivered out of the kingdom of Satan into the glorious kingdom of God, and say, all of us here, thank God, all who know the Savior, all who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Master, we can never thank God enough that He has in mercy come to us with the gospel to save us out of the grips of Satan, out of the world into the kingdom of God. Please understand there are just two systems on earth, just two. One is the world system of Satan. The other is the kingdom of God, of Jesus Christ. You and I, who believe and put our faith in Jesus, we belong to the kingdom of God. And rejoice and be glad and be a good witness. If you belong to this kingdom of God, be as one, a child of God. Witness to that. Live as one. Speak as one. Appear as one. And serve the King of Kings. Prince of the power of the air is another term given. You know, the air, the airwaves. Nowadays, so many things go through the airwaves. And all these things, the media, go by the airwaves. There is one master of the air. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's very powerful. So, please let us understand all these things. What do we know about Satan and demons? Yes, while we can't see them, they can see us. This is the problem, as we don't see them. But they're everywhere. Everywhere. There is no place. Right inside the church they can come. Do you know that? Yes, we had one. Once upon a time, even in this very sanctuary, there's a demon-possessed lady up there. When we preached, she shouted and screeched. So we are to be aware. There is no protection except in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the first prayers I learned as a child, when 5 or 6, mother taught, son, pray every day. Lord, please keep Satan far from me. Drive him far from me and keep me safe. It is a great folly for certain people to engage in exorcism. Exorcism meaning to say, you, whoever that person is, assumes he's got power. And power to confront, to communicate, to talk to certain demon in a certain person, and to command that spirit to get out. That does not happen, dear friends. Please understand, demons are very powerful. Remember the temptation of our Lord. Surely you do. Our Lord Jesus himself, Son of God, but in human flesh, was tempted in all points like as we are tempted. And he allowed himself, he was led of Satan into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine that kind of a experience for our Lord Jesus Christ? And let me ask you, do you remember how he confronted Satan? There was no duel. There was no confrontation with words of his own. Just one thing. It is written. The Word of God says this. The Word of God is the sharper than any two-edged sword. In your encounter with any devil or any kind of spirit or any kind of evil force, please remember, do not communicate. Do not talk to the person. Do not try to confront. You will lose because he's too powerful for you. Michael, the archangel, confronting Satan says, the Lord restrict you and control you. The Lord keep you under his control. Even the archangel does not go out and torment the evil one, like some exorcists say, I torment you. I torment you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't work. What works? Live a holy life. Use the Word of God. And give the Word of God to anyone who is said to be demon-possessed. While Satan is powerful, he is not almighty. Please understand, our God is almighty. Look at the scene in heaven. It says one day God had a kind of open house. All the sons of God came to make their reports. And among them came, amazingly, I said, how come? If God did not give this record, we would never know that such a thing does happen. What is it? God allows Satan to even come and appear before him to bring his complaints. We wonder whether he might even complain about me, about you. Is that possible? From what you read about Job, surely it's possible. You can complain, say, hey, so-and-so, remove my idols. I'm pretty upset about it. This is what happened to me. Now that comes to be the title of tonight's meeting. Satan struck when I took his idols. This was from the same church where Brother Adrian comes from, Jurong BP Church. That year was about 1981. This family was converted the same way like Adrian was. They came to hear the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said to me, Pastor, next Sunday, after service, will you please come and remove my idols? I said, sure. After all, my brother removes dozens and dozens of idols and nothing happens. You know, Elder Daniel Chu of Toronto, who came from Kuala Lumpur, when his father was converted, you know, he had about 30 idols in his house. And Reverend Philip Hing next door went up, took all the idols, made a big bonfire, burned up everything, nothing happened. After that, Elder Daniel Chu's father became an idol remover and idol destroyer. After all his years worshipping all those idols, now the Lord used him. And he became so well known through Selangor, Negeri, to Malacca, to all the Pahang and all those areas. Any household that was converted, he would go and remove the idols. I think I'll do it. That Sunday, after preaching, the couple says, you ready? I said, yes, let's go. Went to HDB flat, of course. When you walk through HDB flats, I would say almost every third house has got idols, you can see. Red paper, joss sticks, and family tablets, and so on and so forth. Here is another one. I said, okay. Of course, we pray. I prayed.
Lord, thank thee for saving this house. Thank thee for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to cover them, save them, protect over them, that there will be peace and safety in this home. Thank thee for salvation so rich and free. Having prayed, we took all the things, so many things, all dusty and dirty of joystick holders, little idols, into 4 or 5 plastic bags. So we carried the whole lot. I still remember going down the stairs and then opened the boot of the car, everything into the boot. Okay, close the boot. Goodbye. I'm off to prepare for sunset gospel hour. So I drove Pan Island Expressway, along the expressway, past Bukit Timah flyover, just flyover. Once we passed that, along Pan Island, hey, engine is a bit shaky, jerky. Smoke came out under the bonnet. I said, what's happening? Wow. And press on accelerator, no help. So, of course, naturally, I draw to the side of the road as close as I can. By then, the car couldn't move anymore. So what to do? Park there, get out, open the bonnet, smoke coming up. What to do? There was a passerby. I said, oh, please help. Those days, nobody has handphones like today, you know. Now everybody has handphone. That was 1981. That lady was very kind, it's 20 cents. So I walk until the nearest telephone along Pan Island Expressway. There are lots of telephones there for emergency call in those days. So I call home to my wife. I say, I'm stranded. I can't move. So she drove in the second car and came there. Look, what can we do? Go home. Prepare for sunset gospel hour here that night. Next day, call up the tow man. That's me. My name is Tow. So the tow man came and took the car away. And the result was this. They rang me and said, hey, what happened to your car? We've never seen anything like it. You bought it from us 4 months ago. Ford Granada. After this, maybe you would like, won't like a Ford Granada. Half the engine is burnt. I said, how? Don't know how. We've never seen anything like it. Half your engine is burnt. Wow, that costs, I don't know how many, 10,000 or so to change the engine. Brand new, 4 months old. I mentioned this to our friend, Reverend Philip Heng, next door. He said, ha, you know what? One day, I had idols in my boot. And also on the Pan Island Expressway. No traffic in sight. Suddenly, the whole windscreen shattered into 1,000 pieces, like that. And I couldn't drive because the wind was so strong, I just put a piece of something to cover the windscreen and then drive it off to the workshop. Can you imagine that? Oh, my dear friends. In the case of Job, Satan came and complained. They said, hey, God, this man called Job, he's only a hypocrite. That's what it says. Why is he so devout? Going to church? Carrying a Bible? All pretense. He's so devout, so godly, only because you bless him. You build a hedge around him. You prevent all the evil things from going to him. Everything with him is so good. He's got so many thousands, 7,000 camels, 3,000 this and that. So rich. You bless him more, he worship you more. That's all. That's all, isn't it? God says, my servant Job is different. You try him. I say, thank God. God had that kind of confidence. You know, God knows your heart. You come here for what? Because of the funny stories I tell? We come here, please. Let our motive be pure. We come because it is the Lord's day. We come because the Lord has saved our soul from hell. We come because we have such a wonderful, loving Savior who cares for us. Do you know that? Do you trust in Him? Do you come because of those things? We come to encourage one another, to see one another. It is good, isn't it? Oh, yes, it is. To have the fellowship of the saints, to know that this is the day of God, the house of God, the time of God, and I'm a child of God. We come here. Let that be our motive, all of us. We love Him because He first loved us. We are here because God is so good to us, and because He's preparing a home in heaven for you and me. And before too long, when our earthly sojourn is over, we are going to that home that we come because of that. And also, you know, because we are His witnesses. When Jesus went up to heaven, what did He say? Ye shall receive power, and ye shall be my witnesses. That's what we are here for. We come here to be part of the witness to the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the saving power of the blood of Calvary. Ye shall be witnesses, is what God says to us. You are here because you are witness. And ye shall be witnesses unto me through all the world, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. Wherever you go, be a witness. Stop being a Sunday Christian, dear friends. Never, never be a Sunday Christian. That is, Sunday morning, switch on. I'm a Christian. Behave like a Christian. Talk like a Christian. Go to church. Sunday night, switch off. Monday, another lifestyle. Satan came and complained, said, Lord, Job, he is a hypocrite. I say, let that not be said of any of us here. But, you know, Job, thank God he had a testimony. When God saved him, he followed the Lord. He was an upright man. No matter how much wealth he had, made no difference. I say the same for all of us here. If God has prospered you, what do you do? Always remember the Lord and return thanks. And promise Him to serve Him more, better, with more of your resource and more of your time, more of your talent. Serve Him. Not just because He's prospered you, that is good to thank God, but simply because you acknowledge God. All you have, all you are, all that you can do is because of the Lord. So we serve Him. And praise God, what did Job do? When in one day, he lost everything. Terrorists, robbers came and took everything away, killed his servants, and then the fire of the Lord came down and consumed all his children. Everything gone. Today, people say that's an act of God. So it is. But Satan was at work. Now comes the real test. I say, how is your faith? Is your faith ever tested? Are there times when you feel that things are no good? Sometimes you almost doubt God. If after I become a Christian, these things happen to me, what is the use of God? And my friends, it is under those circumstances that you remember God is a God of truth, of love, of grace, of mercy, and He never, never does anything wrong. He loves you still. Maybe disaster comes to you. Take the case of my brother Timothy Toh. 1965, they're going to a Bible camp, going up to Cameron Highlands at the foothills. In one crash, wife, daughter, auntie were killed. Then what do you say? Can God be a God of mercy to do this to me? Yes, some people would say, bad luck, bad luck. I say, the words of Job apply to all of us here, please. Someday you will meet something adverse, something you may term in the world's language as bad luck. But on that day, remember, God is good. What did Job say? The Lord gave, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I remember a friend of ours from Brunei. I met him in London, called Peter Wong. His son of 2.5, 3 years old was in the kitchen. Mother gave him something like a fish ball or a piece of meat. And he swallowed it, went into the wrong passage, into the windpipe, into the chest, into the lungs. And on the spot, he died. I received a letter from him. He says, the Lord gave and the Lord takes. While we had this son, we were very happy. But we now understand the son was lent to us. That gives us the perspective. Please, all of us have loved ones, relatives, friends. All these are God's blessings lent to us on loan. And why should you complain if someone lends you something good and you enjoy it and then somebody and he takes it back? Don't complain. God is never wrong. God does nothing wrong. God is never unkind and never unfair. We have a great God, a good God, a wonderful God. Do we all know that, dear friends? So as I go through all these things, preparing for all these, to talk of that day on the Penn Island Expressway, all these thoughts come to me. How can we serve a God in this world when all the world is under a system of Satan? Do you know that? It's amazing. The world system is anti-God. And all the world outside of Jesus Christ is under the dominion of Satan. So, let's remember, we have a very vicious animal, malicious, vengeful, cunning, deceptive. Yes, always deceptive. Evil, the father of lies. Now, before I conclude, I want to share with you some things about how Satan seduces. No one can be made a servant of Satan who refuses to. Yes. Satan's tactics are all by seduction, by temptation. Do you know that? The simplest and the easiest method of seduction, the entry of its seduction is eyes. You know that. Your energy, your activity, it's all through your eyes. And Satan knows that. That's why the Word of God in 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world. Love not the things of the world. All that is in the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All these are of the world, of Satan, of the satanic system. Do not. Today it is very effective and seductive and very powerful. What is it? Television and computer. Have you mastered your television yet? There are some people who do not know what to do with the computer because the computer and television are too powerful. Go to a friend's house. Too busy. Cannot look after children. Switch on television. Sit there. Watch. So that is the baby minder, the television. Now is computer. Every child from 3 years old go to kindergarten, learn computer. And very soon they upload, download. They can do all kinds of things. And up there they're entertained. And how much of satanic material comes through? Do you check? How do you check? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. Through the media, The media is under control, absolute control of Satan. Do you know that? The whole media. Newspapers, glossy magazines, books, videos, tapes getting out of date. So CDs out of date, DVDs, all coming in. Everything that comes in, Satan has a hand and then controls. And you do not know what's going on. I say, too bad. Too bad. Please, we all must be alert and be advised. We must know what happens to your child who has a computer. And out of that computer comes cyber filth, cyber sin, cyber sex, everything through the computer. You say, what are you doing? Study law. Why? Up to 2 a.m. Work hard, law. Exam coming. Work hard. I say to your friends, well, you don't know what's going on in the room locked up, and they say computer studies. So here we are. False teachings. Ah, my friends, so many churches today have been hijacked by Satan. Subverted. You walk into the church and say, hey, I thought I went into a disco. And there is Satan in full blast with satanic music. There it is. Don't always expect, no. I say, don't ever expect to see a roaring lion come and say, oh, that's Satan. No. He doesn't come as a roaring lion. That only is figurative language, that he is like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. But he comes with collar and clerical garb as reverend, bishop, archbishop, pastor, teacher, elder. Yeah. And these people preach what? Doctrines of devils. That's where Satan comes into the church, through ordained people. And they come in right into the church, and very soon he stand up here, and you are imbibing poison, spiritual poison. And this is what we got to watch out today. Meditations. So many Christians unknowingly join yoga groups, and very soon they are standing on their heads and meditating with their brains, meditating all kinds of evil things. Eventually, yoga takes you into the spirit world of Hinduism. You know that. Idolatry, yes, through idols. There's so many people who hang some picture or a little statue in the car. I say, what for? Protection. Wow. Without that, they have no protection. Money, love of money. Satan works very effectively, makes you money mad. You worship the mighty dollar, your whole life is changed. Church is not important anymore. Now I want to make money more and more. So prayer meetings, stop. Sunday, you become a Sunday Christian. Pay a courtesy call to God in the morning. Hello? Goodbye. Evening? Why should I come to evening worship? I'm too busy making more money. Signs and wonders and healings today is the greatest weapon of Satan. Do you know that? Benny Hinn, chief of all these frauds, defrauding people everywhere. People are so gullible. Go there and say, wow, he does miracles, wonders, slaying people like nine pins just falling down. Wonderful. I say, bloodless slaying. This is Benny Hinn and his group. Who are these people? Deceivers. Seductions. Occult games, please, beware. Occult games and guides. They say half of Americans don't go to work except they consult their occult guide. What to do today? Today is Monday. This is whatever day of the week or the month. And they consult before they take a decision, before they buy or sell or do something. How about that? Do you? I say, dear friends, remember, be very careful. Occult games, Ouija board, and all kinds of other things come easy. What must we do? Walk in the light. Never join up with any kind of occult group or meditation group or some kind of evil activity that people invite you. Please learn to say that little word called no. No. Can you say it? When you know it's wrong, say no. Don't say, I go and pray about it. Yeah. That is not necessary. When you know it's wrong, don't pray. All you have to say is no. That's it. Walk in the light. Keep away from evil. Resist the devil. That's all we do. That's all the scriptures say. Resist the devil. Don't punch the devil. Don't challenge the devil to a fight. You will lose. You will sure lose. Yes. Before you start, you will lose. So, Bible is so good. It says, resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? Not like that. You say, no, thank you. No. Oh, no, thank you. No need to say thank you. Put on God's whole armor. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. Yes. Put on the whole armor of God. Yes. Then you have absolute protection from this evil, evil, evil spirit called Satan. And you will never, never become a victim of Satan. Never. May God bless and protect all of us. Praying, watching, always unto prayer. This is it. Jesus says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank thee for the story of Job, how that he passed the test with flying colors. Lord, help us to understand that we are dealing with an unseen and very powerful, crafty, cunning, and evil spirit. Oh Lord, help all of us here who name the name of Christ to daily walk with him, serve him, follow after him, and look to him at all times. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.